Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Back to those Giants calls in a second. Obviously, worked in a little baseball as well, so whatever you want to talk about today. But we got to get into some of the Knicks stuff. Now, there were a couple things making the rounds on social media yesterday, and I'm not really a bit, like, I don't listen to other people's podcasts, whatever it may be, but I happened to see this clip, and I thought you might get a kick out of this, and really for Knicks fans to get some insight, potentially, onto what Mike Brown might be as the new head coach. Matt Barnes, who's all over these podcasts.
Yeah.
What was the name of this one? This was Straight Game?
Rami? Straight Game with Mike Bibby.
Okay, so Matt Barnes.
So he was a guest.
Yes, not his own podcast. He was a guest on Straight Game with Mike Bibby, and they were discussing Mike Brown, who Barnes played under with L.A. Go ahead, mm-hmm. Play that clip, Rami.
Will it work? I got one hand saying, no.
The one thing about Mike Brown is that first year.
Is always good. Mike is a great
exactly.
person. He's just, to me, he's not a leader of men. Oof. You have to be, Spence, I couldn't imagine it now because these kids are making so much money. You have to have the respect of them. And I think Mike is such a nice guy. That's what f***s Mike up. Mike wants to be cool with everyone instead of putting his foot down like, this is my team. This is what's going on. He was my coach with the Lakers. We had Mike after Phil Jackson retired. Games, I'm just like, oh, I think Mike Brown is a great second chair. Because when you sit in that second chair, if this is the first chair, when I tell you there's such a night and day difference sitting in the head coaching chair, I think Mike is a great assistant coach. I wish him the best, but I've seen it firsthand in Sacramento. His first year came in, brought Golden State system. They made the playoffs for the first time, and probably since a lot of you were born, and then he lost the respect of the team quickly. So now you're going to a New York media market that's trying to eat you up. Every mistake, Mike is a good guy. I just don't think the situation is going to work because he's too nice for his own good.
All right, so there you go. That's pretty scathing right there. We had to dump a little part of it because there was one curse in there that we missed. But you get the gist, basically saying too nice a guy, players walked all over him. So when I heard that confirmed how I felt about Mike Brown. Where are you, BT, after hearing that?
Listen, I think Matt Barnes is a very interesting guy. That doesn't do anything to me in terms of like, I don't know if they should have hired him. I like Mike Brown. I know that he's now Pat Riley. I get that, not Phil Jackson. Number one, I needed to change from Tom Thibodeau. That was my opinion. I thought that they hit the end of the road, so while he was a really good, borderline great, yeah, I don't be nuts here with Tibbs as the coach of the Knicks, but a lot of respect. It was time to move on. So when you move on from somebody, you generally want to get somebody who's a little bit different.
Right, and he is.
And it sounds like he's a lot different here. Now, Sal, here's why I'm not worried, okay? The New York Knicks are a very self-motivated group. I mean, think about some of the names that he just dropped. He just dropped Ron Artest. Now, Ron Artest now, you know, meta is a lot different than a Ron Artest who was not on his medicine back then and an absolute nut job. Nobody's controlling that guy. Number one, Kobe, all due respect, killer, self-motivator, rest in peace. But Kobe was a completely different entity than anybody maybe in the history of the NBA outside of MJ in terms of just that mindset. So I would feel much more concerned about this group if Stephon Marbury was on the roster or Eddie Curry. Jalen Brunson, Cat, Mikal Bridges, these are high character, low maintenance, high IQ guys who get along great. Now, we'll see if Mike Brown's good enough to win a championship. Yeah. But in terms of fear that he's not like suited or fit for the job, I got none. That cut did nothing to deter me.
It goes against everything I believe in. The last words that I ever want to hear about a head coach, a manager, whatever it may be, in any sport whatsoever is, he's too nice a guy. That's just me. It doesn't mean that that's the right thing.
Yeah.
It's for me personally, the last thing that I'd want to hear is he's too nice a guy. Because no matter what, he wants to be buddy buddies with the players, that it takes an edge off. Now, they may be better offensively. As a matter of fact, I expect the Knicks to be better offensively. That's the bare minimum. Doesn't mean that they're going to go further than they went under Tibbs or whatever it may be, or go to the finals. I'm not going to say that. I don't believe that they are going to be an NBA Finals team. They better, at bare minimum, be better offensively. I believe that will be the case. But when things get tough in the postseason and you got a guy who wants to be buddy-buddy and is too nice, even though you have some dogs on this team, Brunson, Hart, whatever the case may be, that makes me uneasy, and I think the Knicks are going to rue the day where they moved on from Tom Thibodeau.
Well, you know, it's funny, too. This is more about the season. Just a little insert here in case Knicks fans haven't caught this. They're not healthy going into the season.
Yeah, what? Hart's banged up?
Remember, Hart had a finger issue, but then he hurt his back out in Dubai, right? Yes. I think he'll be fine. But
Abu Dhabi.
What did I say?
You said Dubai. Is that the same place?
Was it Abu Dhabi?
You remember they had the game in Abu Dhabi?
Yeah, we kept saying that. Yeah, thank you. All right, so to me, I'm not worried about him. I am worried about Mitchell Robinson because we keep hearing
he's always hurt.
But think about this. Yeah, I know, but we keep hearing maintenance days. Like, I remember watching the Friday night. I remember I put the picture of the fire pit going. I was watching the Knicks preseason finale, getting ready for the season, and Mitch didn't play. And they're like, "Oh, it's a maintenance day." And I'm like, "Ah, that's a little bit weird. It's a maintenance day." And now we're hearing you might not play tomorrow. It's a maintenance day. What are you maintaining? You haven't taken a single rep. So I actually am a little worried about Mitchell Robinson. So that could be, you know, maybe that's a situation where the Knicks don't get off to a flying start. Mike Brown feels some heat. Mike Brown's not equipped to deal with that because he's too nice, as we're talking about. And maybe that's an issue that we'll have to address, and I will. But the reason I started my reaction to the cut from Matt Barnes with it's a self-motivated group and it's a high-character group, generally those people don't run wild and disrespect authority, even if it's not in your face, old school authority. And if they do, let's not forget, Jalen's dad is still there, and he's a bit of a red ass.
Correct. So maybe he could be the bad cop. All right. Did you hear they were talking about on the morning show how Carl Anthony Towns basically was asked about what his new position is going to be or his new role under the offense of Mike Brown? He's like, I don't know yet.
I heard this even before the morning show, but why don't you set this up? This is something we could talk about.
Yeah, well, basically he was asked what his new role is going to be under this offense with Mike Brown.
Yeah.
And he said, I have no idea.
Yeah.
What? What do you mean?
You don't know. Hey, it's season over. You playing point guard tomorrow night? Yeah, didn't figure it out. No, I think that people hijack that, or at least I thought that was a misrepresentation of what Kat was trying to say. See, the way I took it, and I remember reading about a week or so ago where Mike Brown was talking about the install of the new offense. And as we know, he's an offensive guy. All right, we all know that, right? So if the Knicks offense is not better, well, then Mike Brown was the wrong hire because that's what he was brought here to do, right? To make the offense better and easier on Jalen Brunson, alleviate some of the pressure of him always having to do everything. So when he said the other day, and I thought this was interesting, I haven't even installed the plays yet. This is Mike Brown speaking. This is just about free flow, and I want them to react to a first read, second read. I'll start installing as the year goes on, meaning actually calling plays and being specific. Right now, it's just find the open man, read what's in front of you, and go and ball. And I like that for now. You need structure in the playoffs, but I think what Kat was saying back to that, I just wanted to set it up. Back to what Kat was saying, I think that he was basically just saying what the coach was saying, like, what's your role? Well, nobody really has a role yet because we're just kind of free-flowing because it's early. There's no plays. Yeah. I'm not worried about that either.
Yeah, I'm not going to make a huge deal about that. I just don't like the firing of Tibbs. I'm on record of saying that. I'm going to stand by that. I don't like the hiring of Mike Brown. I expect them to be better offensively. I expect them to be legit contenders regardless. I don't think they're going to have success in the postseason the way that they did with Tibbs. And even with Tibbs, obviously falling short of an NBA Finals is certainly a title. So we'll see. I'm excited to watch it tomorrow night for real.
I am too. The Knicks bench is a lot better. Now, the Malcolm Brogdon retirement, it was a little bit weird. But You've got Deuce. You've got Clarkson, who's, you know, a professional scorer. I think the Knicks should be awesome
this
year.
Well, they're a better team. They have more depth than what they had with Tibbs, certainly. By the way, did you see Tibbs in Boston?
I did.
Yeah, I have no issue with that. He's not employed by the Knicks.
And he won a championship with the Celtics as an assistant coach. I don't have an issue with that either.
I really don't. I did see somewhere, was it a Mark Stein report? Somebody had this, that there was some rumors or thought that the Knicks were back-channeling to get a hold of Mazzulla to be their head coach. But obviously it went
really?
Nowhere. Yeah, did you see that, Rami?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
I wouldn't want Mazzulla as the coach. Really?
Yeah. Well, this was...
I'll look this up.
Yeah, go ahead.
Before Brown.
I think it was Mark Stein. I saw this on... I saw it on social media this morning. I shouldn't put that in Mark Stein if it wasn't him. Somebody I thought reputable.
Somebody reputable.
Had it saying that there were some back channels reportedly that the Knicks were just at least trying to feel if Mazzulla might be interested.
I would not have liked that hire at
Mazzulla?
All. I don't think he's very good at all.
What?
I don't. Just because they won, I don't think he's very good.
Oh, I think he's phenomenal.
I don't think he's an elite coach at all.
You'd rather have Mike Brown than Joe Mazzulla?
Yeah. I really would.
What?
I think Mazzulla was carried by Tatum and by Brown.
Oh, I don't think
he's that good.
I think he's one hell of a coach. Check if you
see
that, Rami.
What is it?
What's the exact
from Mark Stein?
It was Mark Stein. Okay, yes, go ahead.
It has been whispered that the Knicks likely did some back channel exploring to determine if there was any pathway to pursue Boston's Joe Mazzulla.
I like his passion. Yeah. I like his ways the opposite of Mike Brown.
Yes.
Which I like. I'm talking about like concepts.
And he's a more modern like Tom Thibodeau.
That's a good way to look at it. I love his fire. I just don't think in terms of like I'm getting a little geeky here. I'm talking about like in terms of coming out of timeouts or structured sets within a game. I don't think he's very good there. But in terms of, having a good pulse of his team, I think guys respond to him, and I always like that. Here's the other thing, too. As we're getting ready for this Knicks season, you don't think they're going to be as good as I do, and we'll see where it goes and all that stuff. Guess what's lurking in the backdrop here?
What?
Giannis.
Yeah, well,
Not going away, man. If the Bucks aren't good, spoiler alert, they shouldn't be. And if the Knicks stumble, he's coming.
Yeah. I'm not so sold on that either. We'll see what happens with that.
Yeah, you're not sold on anything with the Knicks here.
You're pretty down
on the boys.
No, I think they'll be all right.
60-plus wins.
Better be good. Yeah, they might be good in the regular season. I don't think that this coach has what it takes to get them to go over the hump in the postseason. That's my biggest issue. BT and Sal on the field. Let's get back to the phones here, BT. 888-808-1019, the number to call. Obviously, we started the show talking some football, so we'll take your calls on that. Patrick calling from Melville. What's up, Patrick?
Patty.
Hey guys, how you doing? I listen to the fan a lot, and I looked yesterday, and I understand. Most of what the fans said were true about the Giants. Scrapping the bed, especially going 1,600 games is the first time it ever happened that they actually lost, and that kind of like is my point. Is like the coach. I think Daboll. We have to keep him. Unfortunately, I said we have to keep him, but now I'm not too sure. I don't think he's a head coach. I think he's more of a coordinator. And I think maybe this is the time to maybe next year part ways with him and actually, probably bring in like a Mike McCarthy instead, because like somebody that's proven like that as opposed to a coordinator. And I think that he would be the perfect guy to, mentor Jackson Dart, because see what he did with Dak see what he did with Aaron Rodgers.
Dak's having an MVP year without him. I mean, Dak's having an MVP year with Schottenheimer, who I don't like, Patrick, and thank you for the call. I'm not going to, first of all, I want, me personally, now you guys can make your decision about this. We've had different opinions on it based on different circumstances. Like, I would have made the decision to move on from Shane and Dable a year ago and have a new regime pick their quarterback. I'm on record as saying that. I also do believe that once you make the decision to bring Shane and Dable back, you need to see this through now with the young quarterback. I want to evaluate the rest of this season and see if Brian Dable has learned from some of his mistakes, see if he could actually win some of these games where there are no more excuses. The offensive line's better. They can run the football. They've got the quarterback, they've got the defense, like, go out there and win some football games. But I can't fight off somebody if they're saying that they want to move on from Dable definitively at this particular point.
I think so. At this point, I think everything's on the table. I really do. I'm open-minded. If the Giants finish well, even if they don't have a lot of wins, you get asked this a lot. I see this, you know, how many wins are they? I don't know. How many wins does Glenn need to retain his job? I don't know. What does it look like? How many wins is I don't know. Does it look good? Because they are still a little short on talent, and that's where things, the emotional volatility that we all fall prey to when there's an unexpected surge. Like, sometimes we kind of lose sight of the fact that there's still an absence of enough talent to actually be an elite team or a really good team. So we'll get the answers coming up soon. I've got a name for you, though. While I am open-minded, if this looks good the rest of the way for Brian to come back. So I said yesterday that they are running a lot of Ole Miss concepts to make Jackson Dart comfortable.
Oh, boy.
You don't like it already?
Yeah.
We all know who's coaching at Ole Miss. Now, he's not a 30-year-old punk anymore when Al Davis fired him, or when he was fired on the tarmac, right, at USC. Mm-hmm. He is now 40-something, you know, a dad with kids and grown up, and he's gone through hell as a football lifer. I'm reduced to Florida Atlantic, where he was humbled, all right? Lane Kiffin.
Yeah, I would not say no. Now, I don't know if it would be my first choice, but I wouldn't also make that just based off of the familiarity with Jackson Dart. I want the best head coach possible.
Mm-hmm.
More appealing to me than his relationship with Dart would be the fact that he's been a failed head coach that learned from that failure and became successful once again. And I believe he's just a good football coach. So, yeah, I mean, I'd entertain it. I'd have to see a long list of the people and rank where I would fit Lane Kiffin, but I wouldn't just dismiss it. I think it could be polarizing for sure,
yeah,
but I would not dismiss it and could see that that would be a potentially good hire.
See, the problem, I think, and just to bring the Jets into it for a moment with head coach possibilities, right? Like, I don't think either list is going to be incredibly tantalizing. I just don't. Like, let's say one of the two coaches or both gets fired. Like, first of all, the Jets have shown an aversion, and the Giants, too, to an extent, to hire anything but assistants. So that's the first hurdle that we have to get over for both of these teams. But even if both owners did want to move on and wanted to hire established head coaches that coach in the NFL, who's the list unless you're going to trade for somebody? You're going to try to coerce Belichick?
Well, McCarthy's one.
Yeah, no, that's definitely one. I'm just thinking out loud. I don't think it's a very long list.
You know what's wild? I was thinking about this as you were talking there on our last call, saying the same thing. Like, you talk about the Jets, like, oh, God, how many wins is it going to take? Whatever, 0-7. It feels like it's, like, I was going to say it feels like, but it is, in reality, the worst thing in the NFL right now, 0-7. The difference between the Jets and Giants is two games. That's not a lot, dude.
And planets apart in terms of hope.
Oh, understood. I'm just saying, on the quarterback. The feel could not feel more different.
I'm with
one left for dead, a doormat, hopeless, whether they keep Glenn or not. Who cares at this point?
He can't score.
The Giants feel is, oh, my God, they could take on anybody and beat anybody, which I understand is real to a certain extent.
Oh, yeah.
What's also real is that they are separated by just two games. And the Giants also have an L hung on them by the otherwise would be winless New Orleans Saints. Like, the Saints are the worst team in the NFC. They have one win. Outside of the Jets, there are 4 1-win teams.
Tennessee,
Miami,
Saints,
Baltimore, and the Saints.
Yeah, the Ravens,
and the Saints' one win came against the Giants.
Yeah.
Like, if you actually just look at the standings, you know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
It can be deceiving.
That's interesting, but here's the thing, too. Like, if Russell Wilson was still the quarterback, it would feel exactly like the Jets. And that just goes to tell you, not to take a shot, you know, the low-hanging fruit with Russ. He's going to be a Hall of Famer in all probability. I respect it. But when you find that young gun, that young buck who's slinging it, who's got a little moxie, who's got the athletic traits, it kind of hijacks the reality of the record in a lot of ways, to your point.
BT and Sal on the Fan Warrior calls. We come back, 888-808-1019, the number to call.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Boomer
and Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.